change our attitudes, our minds. We must realize that from now on we are no more a colonial, but a free and independent people. That also entails hard work.
Them fool too many people, them tell too many lies. If we turn off the TV, we can really see. Them fool too many people, them tell too many lies. If we turn off the TV, we can really see.
Citoyens du monde, son quart de résident. Depuis qu'ils ont élu Hussein président, se base un slogan dans ce Kenya. Ils nous font avaler couleuvre ténia. Porte la révolution sur Broadway, mise en abîme des luttes bafouées. L'Afrique leur tient à cœur tel un pendentif. Donc restons attentifs. Mwana wetu, mwana wetu, eh. Mwana wetu, mwana wetu, c'est Bouyebi, Bouyebi, eh. Bouyebi, Bouyebi.
Africa, c'est ça. Africa, the center of the world, chale. It be the center of the world today. Africa, the center of the world, chale. It be the center of the world today. Talk about my mama, we gon' fight, yo. The motherland, that's right, bro. Talk about my mama, we gon' fight, yo. The motherland, that's right, bro. Talk about my mama, we gon' fight, yo. We want, oh, we want, oh, we want our freedom. Ain't gon' stop till we win, yet defeat them. 500 years of the tricks, yeah, I see them. The lies and the slander, oh no, we don't need them. We want, or we want, or we want our freedom. We ain't gon' stop till we win, yet defeat them. 500 years of the tricks, yeah, I see them. Lies and the slander, oh no, we don't need them.
If we turn off the TV, we can really see what they do.
I'm from the continent, it's another planet, put us in bondage, cause they can't understand it. We done a lot on that trip, on that ship across the Atlantic. Things will never be the same, that's irreversible damage. It was the Congo, now it's the concrete jungle, it was the Niger River, now they just call us nigga. Now when I see them little youths getting bigger and bigger, I sip again and sit back and remember. Try to see it for myself, cause see we ain't wanna listen. Thought we invented getting fresh, when it was really tradition. Pour out a little liquor for those who passed away. Now it's called libation and we say I shit.
Africa, this is the other world.
Africa, the center of the world, chale. It be the center of the world today. Africa, the center of the world, chale. It be the center of the world today. Talk about my mama, we gon' fight, yo. The motherland, that's right, bro. Talk about my mama, we gon' fight, yo. The motherland, that's right, bro. Talk about my mama, we gon' fight, yo.
Welcome to Kaya Radio. We are at the Twigger store in on Albany Highway. I'm here with my boy Shube and we are with Nassim.
Yes.
Nassim,
yes.
What's good, my brother?
Everything is always good, you know, it's always a blessing. You know.
So, where are we? Where are we right now?
We are at shop number 3,
1917
Albany Highway in Maddington.
Yeah.
And that's where our shop is at and that's where we run tunes at.
How long that been open?
This has been open up for 3 weeks now, since we launched it up and opened up. It's been now 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's been going all right. You know, we have walk-ins almost every day here,
which
is beautiful. And the location too, it's impact. So we love this place. It's good.
Can you describe a bit what are you doing here actually? What is your...
Yeah, at shop number 31917, what we do here is all about fashion. You know, yeah. It's all about a clothing line, which we started 3 years ago as a hobby, but it turned to something.
African style.
Yeah, African style. African, but you know, like it, you know, modern African. Kind
yeah,
of
okay,
style.
Yeah.
So not really deeply like in Africa, but what we do always here is we really like focus in fashion. Focus in fashion.
Yeah. So yeah, there are no limit for people. It's opening for everyone. You know, you don't have like a discrimination. I would say something. Like
Exactly. This is always like multicultural kind of.
Yeah.
Everybody can wear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the colors. We have beautiful colors. So
yeah.
Also different occasion and it's all multicultural. You know, Africans.
Yeah.
Australians,
yeah.
Chinese,
yeah.
Asians.
Yeah, I saw that on your book and all the ads of the photo shoot you did. Yeah, that different type of people.
Exactly, so, because we're trying to bring that. We're trying to bring in. You know, like at first when we started, people thought like African because the name Trigger African Design. People just thought like it's all about Africa.
Yeah,
but it's not like that. It's just the name of the brand where
we
focus it. But everything here is just focused. Everyone is, you know, is always welcome.
Yeah,
and that's why we try to move over, just having like shots. You can see our fashion photo shoot, which was editorial.
Yeah,
we had a lot of mix up there.
Yeah,
we had a couple of Australians in the mix, and then this time also we had a couple of Asian mixed up.
Yeah, yeah.
So we try to, you know, break all boundaries so we can have all people around. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
That's good. And so how. How that happened, you know, sewing and all these things, you know, because it's not like, I know, okay, Jean-Paul Gaultier or Louis Vuitton, you know, but you are a different style of maybe a Louis Vuitton guy or a Gaultier guy. How that happened, you know, I don't know. It's like...
the story comes from years and years ago, whereby, you know, when I was still younger, but then my mom used to like sewing so much.
Okay.
She used to have like the old school singers, you know, the sewing machine, you know, the pedal ones.
Yeah.
So we just used to play with them at home. Like she used to do her things, and sometimes she'd be like, hey, you know, you have a torn shirt, she'll fix it, or you can fix it yourself. So I started getting my hands into the sewing machines at the age of maybe, was it 17?
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I started getting my hands into like 17 years old, 16, 17, 18. I started playing with sewing machines and all that. And just creating little pieces, you know, friends' products, you know, if they had like a tall shirts.
Yeah.
And then she started making us clothes, started making like shirts.
Yeah.
And we started seeing how the shirts are drawn and all that. So we started picking up, you know, little bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't my passion by then, because me, I was thinking of different things. But
yeah.
She was like...
You were thinking about what?
I was thinking of music. Music used to be my dream, you know?
Yeah.
DJing and all that. But then... She's really supported me later.
Yeah.
And I was not really like, she's like, yeah, this sewing machines, I'm buying all this because tomorrow I may not be here again tomorrow.
Yeah.
But this is your
future,
your start. This is your start. You gotta own this, you gotta do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, man, this is not my dream, man. I got other things to think about. And it kept going and I kept doing it. And when I went to high school, Form 6.
Yeah.
I figured out like I just wanted to do music. So I went to Blackstar DJing Academy.
Yeah. Where was that?
I did that in Kampala.
Yeah.
Kampala in next to Mango, the place called Mango.
Okay.
Yeah. So I used to go there and I do my DJing after school, and I used to go to the market and help her work at the market.
Yeah.
She supported, she paid for me the school.
Yeah.
You know?
But which country is that?
Oh, the country is Uganda.
Uganda,
I'm originally from Uganda.
Yeah.
I always say like I'm East Africa in general because I've traveled so much. I've lived in all those countries when I was younger.
Yeah,
after
okay.
the war, we had a bit of a war that torn down Uganda by then.
Yeah.
So it displaced a lot of people. So we found ourselves in Tanzania, we found ourselves in Kenya, and then we went back to Uganda.
Yeah.
So I found myself learning all the languages, and I knew the places, and I made friends from different places.
Yeah.
But that has never held me back, you know. I just kept evolving and keep moving.
Yeah.
And so I did my music. I finished doing my music, started playing music, and also at school we used to do what they call music, dance, and drama, MDD. So that's when I started doing more singing.
Okay.
So we used to go for dramas, we play dramas,
yeah.
We go to the stages, we play music, and it never stopped. We just kept going, and life became a bit tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. After some times, life became a bit mixed up, and I had to move away from home because I was like, I have my destiny, and I love to work so hard, and I just wanted to travel, get out of the country.
Yeah.
So I walked away from Seoul.
Okay.
And I walk away from music
as well.
Yeah, I walk away from everything.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And
you just went away.
Yeah, boom.
Yeah, yeah.
And I found myself in different scenarios by then. I traveled in a place called Southern Sudan.
Yeah.
And I was so lucky, you know, the rebels never took me down, but I met the rebels.
Yeah.
And I survived. They just took all the beams and the iron sheet and cement.
Yeah.
And they left me to go because I told them I'm not. Because Uganda was fighting them by then.
Oh.
So if you say you're from Uganda, you'll ban your car, you'll see all the trucks on the streets, you know, they all ban.
Yeah.
So they used to take everything, just ban the car, shoot you, take you with them. So I was so lucky that never got to me. I was so lucky they just took whatever they took and told me to move on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And after that, I was like, nah, I'm not doing this. Because I used to drive long distance taking trucks. I used to drive trucks loaded with stuff
mm-hmm.
in Southern Sudan, you know, go mm-hmm. to Nairobi, you
mm-hmm.
know, that's border to border.
Yeah.
And after that, I felt like, hey, man, this is not going to be me, man. Like, I'm not going back to this country again.
Yeah.
I stopped driving. I came back in Uganda by then, and I started doing what they call street designer.
Yeah.
So.
At what age are you at this point?
That was in Nigeria. So I was like coming to around nine,
so like 20, over 20 years
20,
ago.
Yeah, over 20, over
yeah.
20. No, I think I've gone too fast. Yeah, rewind a little bit. So when I was in school, I was doing the sewing.
Yeah.
And I left from sewing and went to school of DJing, finished DJing. I went and started helping out in the market.
Yeah.
Before I went to Southern Sudan doing this big job. And then there I was 18, 19.
Yeah.
So the truck business came around when I was 22.
I see. 22,
23.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I went to the trucks and did that, and I found it was not working for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I got back home and I figured, what can I do? And I used to have a friend at the place, William Street in Kampala. There's a William Street whereby
mm-hmm.
it's a street for musicians, street for all the big names, Jose Chameleon, whatever, Chaga Yagayo, all of the big names artists used to be very cool and all that.
Yeah.
So we used to hang out there every day, and I used to have, I call him like brother.
Yeah.
Like, he used to be one of our family members called Bob.
Yeah.
Bob used to have a little shop he used to work for. They used to sell mobile phones.
Yeah.
So I used to go there to make some cash. I just go there and if I see people walking on the streets, I'll pull them in. Hey, you're looking for a phone? Come in here, man. Check it out. What phone are you looking for? Yeah, guys. So I have to have a deal so I can make a difference.
Yeah.
And that kept going. And then I met this guy. I reckon he's now in Belgium or somewhere in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
He used to do the design. He used to design the artist.
Oh,
so that's when I come to like, oh, get back to fashion again.
Oh,
yeah.
So we used to sit and chill and play and, you know. So,
When you say he used to dress the artist like
he used to be a street designer.
So he used
to have his backpack. He used to go downtown. So we used to go and get secondhand clothes.
Yeah.
Like at Vinny's here.
Yeah.
You get the first class.
Of course.
Secondhand.
Yeah.
And then we used to get them, iron them, wash them nice and clean.
Yeah.
And we bring them on the streets, you know, up the streets. And, you know, artists would be like, yeah, man, I like that. Fubu, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Man, I like, you know, that.
Yeah.
Girl, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes they, you know, you dress up so they can look at you and be like, yeah, this guy is dope. I like what you have.
Yeah.
And because of your backpack, you got heaps of stuff in there. So
yeah.
We used to sell as we go.
Ah,
oh,
you
like my shirt? Yeah, I'm selling it, bro.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
Yeah. How much you pay, you know?
Hustling.
Yeah.
Yeah, hustling around, bro.
Yeah.
Like, how much you pay up? Yeah, so we used to sell as we go. So we dress stuff to sell.
Yeah.
And I followed his footstep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I can do this, man.
Yeah.
I talk too much in the street all day. I can just go downtown and get a backpack and just do the same. So I started doing that. Just go down the streets. And because I knew people at a place called Owino Market.
Yeah.
Owino Market, my mom used to work there for a long time.
Yeah.
And so people knew me since I was younger. So every time I used to go, like, I like your shirts, can you give me some? I'm going to make some money.
Yeah.
I'll bring you your money. How much is this? And, you know, I make
a
difference of stuff. But I never used to have my own money.
Yeah.
I'll just go there and just pick one, two, three, four, five. Yeah, cool.
Oh, yeah.
pocket bag, go up the street, make a difference. If I don't make any money, I'll return it.
Yeah.
But always I used to get lucky, you know, make some difference. And then I just kept it going. Came to fashion, knowing how the perfect shirt looks like, what people like, colors they like, the design they want on the streets, you know, it's like different on the street. And I kept that going and I kept that going. And after that, my auntie, who, she's still there, opened up a shop because she saw like this guy's got a potential. She's like, I'll open a shop, I'm going to put up my clothes, come and sell me stuff. I was like, yeah, no worries, I'll do that. So I worked for her also for a while, just selling clothes, like exactly what I have in my shop here.
Okay.
So I did that also with her. But then sewing was not in the mix again, you know, because I'm just like, I'm trying to stay away from the sewing.
Yeah.
But I was already in the industry.
Sewing,
don't want
to let you go.
Exactly, So I hung in there for a while. And until time came, like, you know, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
I just want to go far because I love always traveling and I've been missing it for a while because I've been grounded here.
Yeah.
So that's when I chose, like, hey, it's time for me to get out of here.
Yeah.
And that's how I moved from Uganda.
Yeah.
No, even before that, before the shop, because my auntie, this one time she didn't pay me.
Yeah.
And I said, like, I can't work for you for free.
Yeah.
So I had to move. And then I had a friend of mine who also, like, used to live closer. He used to have the cars, you know, the Daladala called taxis. You know, big ones there.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, man, I'm looking for a conductor. My brother, you're my brother here, man. You can come and, you know, you can call these people, you know. I was like, yeah, man, I don't know how I'm going to, but I don't know how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But that reflect me back when I was a bit younger, maybe 10.
Yeah.
10 years old, 11, 12, 13, 14, when I was in Kenya.
Yeah.
Those days. Just back.
Mm-hmm.
I used to hang on the Nairobi cars.
Yeah.
We used to hang on Nairobi, Kenya. Hey, town, you're going in town, mommy, jump in, you know? So I used to do that. So I was like, ah, oh, man, this guy's putting me back in this thing. I didn't want to do it. It's been a long time. So I ended up doing it.
Yeah.
So just hanging on the car, calling people, and all that. Time went. He's like, I want you to start driving. I was like, ah, oh, cool, I'll give it a go. So I started driving again because I already knew how to drive, but I don't have a permit.
Yeah.
So I started driving people like, border to border. We used to go to Busia, Malaba. We just drive Kampala, Malaba, mm-hmm. Busia. I did that. And then lucky enough, I got a good Samaritan.
Mm.
I met this guy from Tanzania. So he was a friend of mine. And he was like, Naz, I see you working with this guy every day, man. How much do you guys make a day?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, he makes money.
Yeah.
And he's like, I see you working and pulling the door. Have you ever own your own business?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's a good idea, man. Because sometimes I don't make money, sometimes we make it.
Mm.
He's like, I'm going to give you a hand, I'm going to help you, but you'll pay me back my money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, no worries. And he's like, how much can I give you to buy your own car?
Yeah.
And you run your own business. And
I'm
like, wow. Out of blue, I was like, this guy is joking or what?
Yeah.
Sat back, I thought about it. I was like, I'll look for a car. So I didn't know how much this guy was going to give me because we didn't talk about the cash.
Yeah.
I just said, we can get a car.
Yeah.
So I went to a mechanic one time in a place called Kisenyi. Kisenyi is just in the Kampala city, just next to Nachibubo and to Owino Market. The mechanic told me like, hey Nas, this guy is have a car, it's old car, but the engine is perfect, but the car is worn out.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, how much is he selling? It's like, hey, he's selling at 4 million. Wow, I was like, yeah, 4 million. I was like, I've just had about a million, bro. I've never owned a million, man. Like, yeah, that's a good idea.
So 4 million is like,
by then, it's like
2 grand or
2 grand,
yeah.
Exactly. Even 2 grand is much, you know, like right now with the dollar, $2.50, you know, $35 per dollar. Yeah, it's like maybe $1,700. And I was like, wow, cool. So I went back to this guy straight away. Hey, guess what, man? There's a car here, man. I think this is going to be a big opportunity.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, what do you want to do? So I was like, solid 4M.
Yeah.
Boom. He's like, I'll give you the 4 million. So he gave me 4 million.
Yeah.
Straight up, pay for the car. The car was really old, man. Like, the body of the car was just not good enough.
Yeah.
So he gave me 4M. I was like, yeah, we can just drive it the way it is. I don't care. So I realized if I sit at the door, I make more money than driving because the driver doesn't know how much money you collect at the back.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to get the bag, and I'm gonna collect this money until I make this guy his cash.
How does he not know though? Like, does he not know? Like, yeah, if the tax is full.
Yeah, the tax is full. So the set is set. You know, if the tax is full, he knows the accountability.
Ah, got you.
But
yeah.
Because you get people dropping and coming and dropping and coming and dropping. And coming,
yeah.
So you can't count too many people. Yeah. You know. Because your job is just stop, hey, stop. Yeah. You may put two and you may see one, you know. So,
yeah.
But yeah, if the car is full, it just counts the whole seat. That's what you know, that anything on top of that is a bonus.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, because I used to do it. I used to keep some money on my side. So I knew exactly someone at the door is going to put the money on the side.
Yeah.
So my aim was like, that money I put on the side, I can pay this guy back quickly.
Gotcha.
Other than putting it, because if I'm working for someone else, I want to make money too, you know.
Yeah,
but
now
I'm working for myself. I gotta be honest to myself, right?
Yeah.
So I worked like that and I made money. After like a year, 2 years, I made money, gave him his money, won the car for nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's like, wow, nice, I like your style. Guess what? I'm gonna buy more cars, you maintain them for me.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Yeah. I'm like, cool, no worries. So he bought one more car, which I called Stranger Town. And then his other friend, whose uncle is a friend that I used to know, that his uncle also saw the idea and was like, oh shit, if Nas can do this, you don't have a job, man. You get in touch with Nas, he can help you out.
Yeah.
So the guy came to me like, Nas, also, I'd like also to do what you're doing. But my uncle wants to buy some cars so we can maintain the me and you. And I'm like, no worries. So we ended up, his uncle ended up buying two more cars, which is Tough Gong and Cali Weed. So I always name them, you know.
Yeah.
I always see that.
Name them to have like all my brands together.
Yeah.
So yeah, I brand all the cars together. So we had like three cars were theirs. One was mine, personal. And yeah, I just evolved, man. I just kept going. But then it became really hard to manage other people. Because I'm not in the other car.
Yeah.
Different people. Mm. So people started playing around.
Yeah.
I was still young by then, 22, 23.
Yeah.
So still people started playing. Like, by then, they don't get you the money at the end of the shift. They're like, oh, the police arrested me all day.
Yeah, they already find excuses.
I was at the garage all day. Or
bullshit.
And then just kept going. And I realized, like, what I was doing before alone was better.
Yeah.
But now having these people, it's too much headache.
Yeah.
So I got one of my brother, gave him one of the cars. But also, he took advantage of me.
Yeah.
So he also, like, just smokes and drinks. And doesn't work, he's the boss now because I gave him opportunity. So, you know, like, my brother's a boss, I gotta be a boss too.
Yeah.
So he forgot about his steps to make money.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then I ended up not making money, to be honest.
Mm.
And the gearboxes, sometimes you tell them to take the cars for service.
Yeah.
They don't do that. Everything just went wrong.
Yeah.
And after that I said, hey, I can't control this.
Yeah.
I have to sell these things.
Yeah.
I just wanna own my car and control it.
Mm.
So time came, one car knocked the gearbox, said, yeah. Sell it the way it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't make money at all. I haven't seen money. It's just my saving goes back into it.
Yeah.
So it's not worth it. So we sold two cars.
Yeah.
We kept two cars, which was one of mine, one I left the other brother to run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how I walked away from that.
Yeah.
And then time came for me to come to Australia.
Yeah.
I met an Australian partner over there.
Yeah.
Australian. Yeah. In Africa.
Okay.
Yeah. And. Yeah, she helped me out. She was like, yeah, man, I like your ideas, man. I would like you to come to Aussie and stuff like that. So, yeah, we had a relationship going on for a while. And I had some little cash
because
of my car and all that. So I was like, yeah, man, if I can sell this car, I'll
have
some money to go away.
Yeah.
And that's how things started coming out.
And what year do you touch down in Australia?
2000, end of 2009, coming to 2010.
Yeah.
So that's when I got to Australia. So after a bit of a while, 7 months visa.
Yeah.
I was so quick by then. And I landed in Australia for the first time.
Yeah. And how was that?
Good experience to land here.
Yeah.
But I was detained for a while. I was detained because when I was so happy, you know, like I'm leaving Africa, you know?
Yeah.
I ended up in Nairobi. We hung out in Nairobi and we went to South Sea. Some of my friends and the people I know over there, and we had a big night, you know.
Yeah.
The night just became big before I flew out of Nairobi, and when I go to Melbourne, I can the dog sniffers and whatever it is, picked up some stuff that they say it was cocaine or whatever it is. But it's just we had some stuff, but we didn't. I didn't carry anything with me, you know.
Yeah.
So I was just 100% like I don't have any, but whatever. So
yeah.
They took me for detention for like there for like hours.
Yeah.
They took my shirts off.
Yeah.
Took all my luggages off.
Yeah.
Checked all my bag, all the letters, all the messages, everything was checked. All the phones were taken away.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not what I came for, man. I even asked them to send me back home. I was like, nah,
really?
This is the life I'm gonna live, man. Like,
just
send me back home, man. Like,
yeah.
I don't need this. But they're like, yeah, no worries. No worries, you'll be right. You'll be right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it took me ages and I got frustrated and I was like, first time this is a welcome for me, bro. Like, this is bullshit. But then after a while, you know, I was complaining because I had to connect a flight too. I missed the flight and I was like, yeah, bullshit. Time went. Gave me back my luggages, got me a new ticket, a new plane.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, cool, I'll take the next plane. So I took my connection plane straight out, and that's when I went and joined my partner.
Yeah. Here in Perth?
No, in Tasmania.
Got you.
So from Melbourne, the connection flight was supposed to be going in Tasmania.
Yeah.
So I connected to Tasmania. And that's why I met my partner after a while.
Yeah.
And we had the beautiful baby there, my eldest son.
Yeah.
He lives in Tasmania now. Comes here more often. And then I lived in Tasmania for 2 years and a half.
Yeah. I see,
Tasmania. I know no work in Tasmania, I just like do music. We used to do music with the band called Reggae Inc. Tasmania.
Yeah.
So it's all Africans mixed up with the Australians.
Sure, sure.
We had a good vibe out there. We had a good vibe over in Tasmania. They were so quiet then, but we tried to lift it up.
Yeah.
And it's because of no work there for me, and I came here for a reason. I'm someone who likes to push myself. And over there, there was nothing for me really, so I had to move. But everything went zigzag there, and I broke up with my partner. Then I had to find myself. Okay, now I'm free.
Yeah,
I can move now. There's nothing holding me back here.
Yeah,
so I moved from there. I went to Queensland. So I went to Gold Coast. I lived in Gold Coast for 7 months. To live in Surfers Paradise, a place called Benoa, Southport. So I lived there for like 6-7 months.
Yeah.
And I used to work in hospitality. Like just waiters.
Yeah.
Get food and stuff.
Yeah.
And also that was getting better for me because I was like, man, it's years going. I'm looking at my calendar. I had a target like I'm gonna come here. I'm gonna make money. And I'm gonna support people in Africa. I'm gonna support the poor because I love to support people.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want everybody to be better.
Yeah.
Not to have the life I had.
Yeah.
And I tried. Just ends don't meet, And I wanted to join like maybe the mining, coal mining in that side of Queensland.
Yeah.
People scared me like no good. So I changed my mind. I said, okay, if this is no good, then I have to move.
Yeah.
So that's when I came and moved to WA.
Yeah.
I mean, moved to WA, lived in Kalgoorlie.
For
like 2 years in Kalgoorlie.
Yeah.
I worked underground there. The money was, I could see like here, this is where the money is, this is what I came for.
Yeah.
And I worked there for 2 years and I was just, it was just dry in Kalgoorlie.
Yeah.
It's desert.
Yeah.
Nothing good there. And I thought, it's going to be time for me. I've done my 2 years here.
Yeah.
I'm going to move and go and see this city called Perth.
Yeah.
And but before that we used to come in Perth maybe once a month.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, just to come to travel and check it out.
And it was completely different, Perth, I think, at this time. It was like in what years was that?
2012, 2013. Yeah, we used to come and for a night and go back the next day, and until time came, it was like, I like the city life. I like to go back and live in Perth.
Yeah.
Perth was a bit quiet by then. Not crazy like the way it is right now. You hear like things happening in Northridge.
Yeah.
It used to be nice. It used to be a nice place, man. Northridge used to be nice. Not much crazy. Like there's more pubs now than anything else.
For sure. Yeah.
Back those days. But Perth was really good and welcoming too.
Yeah.
So I moved here. Not knowing anything, don't know the streets, I just keep driving zigzag.
If
I don't have a GPS, I'm lost. I'm used to Kalgoorlie, it's only one way.
Yeah.
This way, I'm like, oh, talking, where am I going? And yeah, it took me a while. I started life again.
Yeah.
And I was certified now to do my job.
Yeah.
I have my certificate too.
Yeah.
So that's when I went back to Port Hedland. I got a job in Port Hedland.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Port Hedland and done my a year and a half there, 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, this is also not good to me.
Yeah.
So I moved back here and stayed in Perth again and worked local. And then I got another job back in Kalgoorlie again. Took me back there. That was like 4-in-1.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad. And before I met my partner now with kids, you know, so I was still like single and just doing my thing.
Yeah.
Not thinking too much. And yeah, time went by and just did my thing, not even thinking of what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then one day from, not before, yeah, when I finished my job in Port Hedland,
yeah,
I decided to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
I just had that focus, like, okay, I'm going to start a tire business.
Yeah.
Because I was already certified to do mechanics and
servicing and all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I started this little mobile tire business called NAS Express Tires.
Yeah.
So NAS Express Tires went on really nice. I was working for myself and I was like, yeah, this is where I want to be. I just don't want to work for someone else, do anything I want to do, no restriction, no nothing, no question, you know.
Yeah.
And it really went good until socializing, playing soccer.
Yeah.
So when I played soccer,
when
I played soccer, snapped my knee.
Yeah.
I had to go for surgery.
Yeah.
And that put me backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
I went to surgery because I was working for myself. Didn't employ too much people, but insurance would cost me too much if I employ more.
Yeah.
And he put me back and no support as a single man. You know, just friends, so people relying on. And then I found it hard. I had to go back in Africa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had to catch a plane. I went all the way back home because I was just feeling frustrated. People off, you're gonna get me food or
you're missing too many things.
Yeah, so I'd rather go home and heal.
Yeah.
Come back when I'm more healed. So
yeah.
I went back to Africa for like a couple of months. And there's a guy who I knew was doing exactly the same thing I was doing, so I gave him my clients to look after them. And when I got back, things have changed.
Yeah.
So he took all the clients, and the money was not coming. Because when I went to Africa, the money was coming into my account. Like the clients were paying me, then I pay him.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then that stopped for a while, and I didn't know why. So I had to come back and figure it out.
Yeah.
So I went back to my normal duties, and the guys are like, the guy's taking over.
Yeah.
I really felt bad, been betrayed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, everything I do doesn't get there, but then someone messes
it
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I say that. But by then now I was scavenging, I don't have cash now because the cash flow is not coming in and I've been using, you know. So I thought quickly how to ignite my brain so I can make cash again. And I thought I'd go back to what I used to do. So I sold the compressor, I sold some things, got some money coming in, paid a little bit of debts I had there, clear that. Then I went back to the bush again. I went to Mekatara, worked there 3-in-1.
Mm-hmm.
So cash started coming back again.
Yeah.
And then after that, came back in Perth, left the job because it was long driving from the airport to the site.
I see.
And I was like, nah, I can't do that.
But when did you go come back on the on sewing and everything like that when you were here in Perth? What gave you the idea to
what
say,
give
okay,
you the idea now? I'm coming to that because I'm just about to do that.
Yeah.
So when I come back to Perth after that, I went back to Kalgoorlie to work for another company as a sabi, I went there as a sabi and then I had an injury at work. So the injury is what ignites me back to go back to when I was younger, doing this sewing with my mama. So that's when we rock back again and that ignites my head. Like, what can I do? Because I have only one hand, you know?
Yeah.
The other hand is not there.
Yeah.
So I had only one hand and I'm thinking, what can I do? And people are telling me, go and do real estate, do this. I'm just like, I don't want to go back to school again, man. It's going to take me long, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted something that I can get into right away.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of fabrics at home.
Yeah.
A couple of fabrics. And there was a little sewing machine that was sitting there.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, okay. Electric shell machine, yeah, cool. A couple of fabrics. Maybe I'll start doing something. Yeah. That's the first time we had our daughter, Riziki.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, Riziki, we're going to make some little overalls and stuff like that. So then we started cutting pieces, just, you know, making stuff for Riziki.
Yeah.
And I made one pant for myself. And I reckon Carla made the top for herself, you know? So we looked like, oh yeah, this guy's, you know, we can make stuff.
Yeah.
And every time you go out, people are like, oh, I like your pant, man.
Yeah,
can I have
one?
You know, sometimes, oh, I like a Riziki, you know, can I get it? So we say, I'll make your pant like this. It's easy.
Yeah.
Then it started, you know, things started becoming busier. People are like, I like it. I want one. Yeah. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 times 6, 10, 10, you know, it goes up.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, I spoke to Carla, hey, guess what? We're busy now making people custom made stuff. What if we just make this as a business now and start sewing? She's like, yeah, that's a good idea. You can't do anything, you know, you just spend time at the beach and do nothing.
Yeah.
It's good for you. It's like, yeah, no worries. So yeah, we bought a second machine, sewing machine in, and we just never stopped.
Yeah.
That's how, we started, and we started looking for the names, and I'm like, I like the giraffe. The giraffe is always, I like the colors of the giraffe. And,
yeah.
I want to stand that tall like someone else. I want this business to be up that.
Yeah.
And so the name Trigger comes in, and we're like, what can we put behind Trigger? And I'm like, because my background is African, so I'd like to have those roots, with Trigger with the roots.
Yeah.
So we had issues like Trigger designs, but Trigger Designs, there's a lot of business already took the name Trigger Designs.
I see, yeah.
So we wanted to just have the Trigger Design without Africa.
Gotcha.
But because the business has already been taken. Trigger Design was taken, Trigger whatever is taken, you know. So
what does Trigger mean? Sorry.
A giraffe.
A
giraffe in Swahili.
Gotcha, yeah.
In Swahili, giraffe is called Trigger.
Yeah.
So by then I couldn't get that name registered because other people already had it.
Yeah. Mm.
So we figured out like how can we trick and register this name without taking the trigger, without taking the design.
Yeah.
So we thought, what if we put just a word in the middle here? So we figured which word,
Word.
You couldn't get anything to put in because it's a design company, there's a fashion industry.
Yeah.
So it has to be have something. Maybe design would be good, but then we came up like, oh, let's just put African in there.
Yeah.
So we dropped African and nobody had trigger African design.
Yeah.
So we said, this is it, let's just registered this name.
Yeah.
We keep running like that. So we registered the name Twig African.
Yeah.
And that's when we became officially Twig African.
Yeah.
Started working on the websites and stuff.
Yeah. So you're obviously also bringing your skills from the taxis.
Yeah.
You're bringing your skills from you, like the backpacking and selling clothes.
Yeah.
Like how has that, because you were a young man then, like you were a teenager, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that help you when you're in Australia? You've got your own business and you're like, you know, trying to start your own business. How do those skills come into use then?
Yeah, those skills really like, really help a lot. Like, you know, really like, I'm someone who loves to, what is it called, the word I'm using here? You know when you're doing a gambling, you have the other side of it, what is it, risk?
Yeah.
A risk taker sometimes?
Yeah,
you like
to
risk take?
Yeah.
Because everything you gotta try it. If you don't try
of course.
You never know what's good in it.
Yeah.
Because I already tried those kind of stuff back time.
Yeah.
I thought like, this one, I've already, so here I've already tried this entire business here.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's easy to create this and we can make it happen.
Yeah.
And just push myself like, I've done it before. And do it again.
Yeah.
Let me try. If it doesn't work. It works.
Yeah.
So when we created the business, the idea was to grow up that big.
Yeah.
But then because of the demand, my hand, I'm healing at the same time.
Yeah.
I've been doing this, and after I healed up there, I got a payout, and I was like, I used the payout to go bigger.
Yeah.
So that's when it really went really hard.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, put the strategies down. I'll need more fabrics.
Yeah.
I'll need people to help me sew, but I couldn't find sewing here. Someone to make you like a shirt here, it's gonna cost $100.
Yeah.
Just to make you a shirt.
Yeah.
And you have to give the fabric over here.
Yeah. And you still have to sell it as well. Yeah.
And it's charging by the hour. I was like, that's expensive, man.
Yeah.
But I can make this and make it available for everybody.
Yeah.
And give it a good price.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So I tried to use my skills of convincing, what is it called, customer care, all the management and all that. I tried to pick every little pockets, you know, what I used to do.
Yeah.
And I tried to bring it in, and it really worked. We went to Africa. The first time we thought, because the sewing here is expensive.
Yeah.
We try to cut it down, like, we want to try to help Africans to earn something.
Yeah.
We want to give money back to the people back in Africa.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
their families, there's a lot of poor people in Africa living on the dollar. So we thought, you know what? If I come to your shop directly and I buy your fabrics from the shop,
yeah.
I'm giving you money, you can go, kids can go to school,
for
they can
sure.
have a good meal on the table.
Yeah.
So we try to focus on that to empower a lot of Africans
yeah.
who are having a hard time.
Yeah.
So we cut down the middle person so
yeah.
the money comes directly to the person.
Yeah.
So I went to Africa, and also because of sewing, I thought it would also be good to give some people work over there.
Yeah, true.
So the money circulates here, and then if I make money here, it goes back to them.
Yeah, everybody
win-win there.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
And I tried that. I went to Africa with big money and bought fabrics. I tried to put people together, the seamstresses together.
Yeah.
I tried to give them a plan.
Yeah.
They executed the plan. First time was really nice because the order wasn't that big.
Yeah.
I was like, it's one little pieces. So
yeah.
I can see the perfection what I've done here.
Yeah.
They can perfect it.
Yeah.
And they did a good job. Came
yeah.
back here. But then I didn't even know about markets, open markets, you know.
I just used to
think about a website. So
yeah.
And then Carla had friends. And they're like, this market. I was like, yeah, I like markets. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So we started popping up. And started selling up too quick, and I was like, yeah, this business is
yeah.
this really
yeah.
it's really doing good now.
Yeah.
So I reckon we want it to be like this.
Yeah.
And yeah. The
how long was it before you started to feel like that?
Maybe after like 5-6 months.
After 5 or 6 months.
After 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. After 5 or 6 months. The business, yeah, because at first we just used to muck around and
yeah.
play around. So
yeah.
being serious now, we're getting in there now.
Yeah,
products we're making, and like yeah, 6 months. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
So we rushed in, went to Africa, got some clothes in here. I brought a lot of different things. My shop had like 20, 50, 40 different products.
Yeah,
from earrings and bangles.
Yeah.
I just had mixed up stuff because I wanted to look like the shop's back home, and she like the art market's
yeah,
back home.
Yeah.
I wanted to be like the art market.
Yeah.
And we were selling like crazy in the markets. We just used to, people used to come, boom. But then after that, we sat back and we're like, hey, we have too many things here.
Yeah.
And some of them we haven't made. You know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be tricky.
Yeah.
We have to have a vision of
what we really want to do.
Yeah.
Other than this, that, you know? Because we want to create everything from ourselves. And, that's why I said, okay, we're not going to have this back, we're not going to have this. We want to cut things down from 50. Let's cut them down from 50 and bring it little down.
Yeah.
So we cut from 50 and we came back with 10 products.
Yeah.
And out of 10 products also, we had a big chart, which is at home anyway. We had like our fashion has to focus on this.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut down from that, and we decided to just make clothing.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, let's focus on this. This is what we know.
Yeah.
This is what I can do. You know,
yeah.
Like, this bangles takes me time to make, like those little things that I don't want to do that. I'll focus on this.
Yeah.
And then I did another template. I went back to Africa again. Then I went really big this time.
Yeah.
And that's when they pissed me off.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
Because the timing, execution, everything was late.
Maybe because you weren't there. Maybe I think sometimes you need to be there and follow to push people.
I was there. Yeah, every time I used to go with my template already made from here. I just take it and show this is what I want you to make like this.
Yeah.
So they have something they can look at when they're working.
Yeah.
And this time I said I'm gonna get all these people, I'm gonna rent a room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a month,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put them in. I want them to bring the sewing machines in,
yeah.
And then we can work. Mm-hmm. And I'll be there. Someone will be there monitoring every day.
Yeah.
And they didn't like it.
Yeah.
So I figured out, hey, I don't have much time to keep asking too much.
Yeah.
I'll just work what they want. I'll do what they want me to do. So they didn't want to come in the room. I said, okay, let's forget about the room. I can't move my sewing machine from my place. Okay, mm-hmm. cool. Okay, these are the pieces I want to make. Make me 50. So I cut the job into different pieces. So I gave one person to make me kids, whatever. And they were really cool, but they're moving a bit slow. In Africa, it's a bit different.
Mm.
They want quick money.
Mm.
You know, like they see my money's already there.
Yeah.
But then there's this someone who has come like, hey, I want this top done.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They see like they don't want to leave that money to go.
Yeah.
So they'll get the other job, get done, mine still sits there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So yeah. The target I was supposed to be there for like a month, it ended up being 2 months. I'm still like over my budget. I was supposed to be, I was supposed to be somewhere. I was supposed to be coming back. There's something I had to do, maybe finalize something,
yeah.
With lawyer, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I had to be here and I was running late. It's 2 months, I'm like, it's 2 months.
Really?
I got the products at the end.
Yeah.
Pack them, put them on a Qatar.
Yeah.
Qatar Airways has a cargo, ship it as a cargo, big bag.
Yeah.
And I came over. I came with the same flight anyway, Qatar. So I loaded everything, packed it up, moved on, came over here. Got the stuff. I never looked at the product because I didn't have the time.
Yeah.
It was there. Because there's too many of them.
Yeah.
So I didn't look at all the products.
Mm.
So when I got here, I started going through products before.
Yeah. Before you
at the shop.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I look at the quality of the Danny the way one.
Yeah.
Then you find some of them. What made me go through that? Because some of the clothes were double threaded. It's a red, maybe red shirt. Then
yeah.
You find there's a black, there's red, you know, different threads on it. So you figure out like not one person was working on this product.
Yeah.
Different hands. So you can look also like at the products with the as a designer, you know what your product has to look like.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, you find they'll look different.
Yeah.
So it looks like the person that gave you a job, but
yeah.
you also went and gave the job to other people. So yeah, I found like that was not really good. So out of 50 products, I find 20 were good.
Mm.
And this 30, I need to do some work on this 30. So yeah, the number was like the best were less.
Yeah.
The crap one was more.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, how can I work this out? I don't want to sell this to someone like $60 shirt.
Yeah.
And then it's not the quality.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
of them like found like on the bottom, the buttons are not like
aligned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I can't do this. You know?
Yeah.
I can't do that because I can't wear it. So why should I sell it? You know? So I went back to the page and said, okay, we'll go to big markets, we'll have like, you know, like whatever rack, say damaged rack, whatever rack, sell them as cheap as, and they can sort that out. So we try to get rid of all the bad stuff and the good stuff. And that's how we went, and we just kept it going. And after that, I said, I'm not going back to Africa.
Mm.
Because it cost me $2,000 a flight, and if I'm there, it's costing me another $2,000 to leave
at the time.
And you know, coming back with a product like this, and you're also paying the people money, so you find your $10,000 easily.
Yeah.
It goes out of your pocket just that moment you're there. You know?
Yeah.
So I thought, nah, we can't do this again.
So you decided to do your business by yourself, or even sewing and everything by yourself means you just order now the material from Africa, and you sew now. Today now you sew.
Mm.
You sew yourself.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
You don't
so
have like sewn end or some. No one does anything.
Nah.
So
it definitely, that's what driven us from that, because it's a waste of time to go back through a product that's already been paid to be done.
Yeah.
So we thought we can't do that. It's time wasting. So we said we're gonna draw the board.
Yeah.
The only thing we can get from Africa is only the fabrics.
Yeah.
So that's it. Yeah.
We just get the fabrics and we create everything right here.
Yeah.
Because I know when I'm creating it, I know exactly what I want.
Yeah.
So we went back to that, we draw the board, and so we get fabrics from East Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda.
Yeah.
Sometimes friends travel to Nigeria, whatever they travel.
Oh,
they're like, oh, nice, do you want me to bring you fabrics?
Yeah, good.
I send them some cash, you know.
Yeah.
They'll buy fabrics and they'll bring back some fabrics. Which has been good, really. It's been helping us so much. So we cut down that time, but it feels a shame, like we wanted to give the money back to the people.
Yeah, true.
But we're still doing that.
In
by
other
buying
ways,
your fabrics,
but
not making the products there.
Which
would have been good if they were like 100% making good products. We would have still been working hard with them. But we're still looking in the future. We may work again, but at this time, everything we're just doing ourselves. You know?
But just to not finish, but I know you since I was here in Australia, and I saw your stuff in different places, like a festival, Bob Marley, different things. But from there, maybe I say 3 years, and now today, I can see the improvement. How that come? Because did you put like more love in your staff, or more professionality in? Or because I can see everything is completely different than 3 years, you know. And now you've got the shop you share with Maida, and So how you do that?
It's like connection, self-development, discipline.
You gotta put
them all together.
Yeah.
And also, you can't work alone. You gotta work with the people around you.
Yeah.
And if you find with the gigs, as you say, like all those gigs, the people will come, like, hey. And sometimes we're going to ask them, I'd like to make a piece. Will you wear this piece on this day?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, I'll wear the piece. You know, like, cool. So sometimes you just give.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just give so that awareness, people know what
to
do.
Yeah.
And also, like as I say, you know, discipline is another thing. You got to just focus on what you're doing at that time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I move around, but I always try to focus on exactly what I'm doing at that time.
Yeah.
Other than moving.
Yeah.
But it's all discipline and the friends around you, the people around you.
Yeah.
Connection.
Yeah.
Socializing with good people around you.
Yeah.
Make everything happen. And that's why you see us, you know, like, you know, reggae nights or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We find our clothes everywhere, like with the gigs, because events, as a person who like, love music, I love to do music.
Yeah.
Have the connection with those people around.
Yeah.
So always, if they have something, they'll be like, yeah, nice, you want to have a stall here? I'll be like, yeah, I'll have a stall. I'll showcase some of the stuff we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all about the connection.
Yeah.
And the good people around.
Yeah.
And speaking of the music, you do music nights here at the shop as well, right?
Yeah, at the shop here, we just started, like, we just launched what they call Hot Fridays, whereby every Friday we'll be having something going on, which is like a community we're trying to come together.
Yeah.
Whereby we can sit here and have a chat, like, you know, what we're doing. We can have a chat. We have nice music going down.
Yeah.
And we talk about ideas, you know. It's all about sharing ideas.
Yeah.
No, with Hot Friday, it's not about like a big party. Like, it's just a small thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes we invite people. It has to be by the invite, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So 10 people, we have a chat, you know.
Yeah.
Nice room.
Yeah.
Everybody has enough, you know.
Yeah, space. Yeah.
Good ambience. We have a chat here. We have a DJ. Sometimes play DJ Morris here.
Mm-hmm.
Play the music. So it's a fast one, but was nice, successful. Seeing people flowing in was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And musically, we'll try to keep it going too.
So
to integrate the fashion and music.
It's
been the goals we've been working in. You know, because when Tuga started was. Tuga started where, but it was gonna be powering the Ruffian sounds, which is not here. But that's a different stuff that I haven't even like put out yet.
Yeah,
I'm on social media. There's always Ruffian sounds on my Instagram and stuff.
Yeah,
but it's integrate whereby the fashion was gonna integrate with the music, and the fashion was gonna power the music. You know,
because
that's where the money comes from.
So yeah,
the
for
money
sure.
we get from the fashion, we'll try to bring and channel it up with the music.
Yeah,
and hopefully they'll blend together.
Yeah, And you still play with your band as well?
Yeah. We still play with the band, We play time to time, you know. Every Tuesday we do rehearsals.
Yeah.
And the band called The Unites.
Yeah.
So, we do good stuff.
Yeah.
We still, music is always good, you know.
Yeah.
It's the pains, man. It keeps everything level.
Yeah, for sure.
It helps mentally. Sure. Mentally, music is, if you feel sad, you know, like back home, you know, if you feel sad, you play music to be happy.
If
anything goes wrong, just play music.
Yeah.
You know, you'll feel it. You know, the music will reflect with what you're feeling.
Yeah, for sure.
You find the message in the music will lift you up.
For sure.
If you're down, it will lift you up and I gotta do something. You know?
So
music with good message is always, it's always awesome.
And
if people can come in your shop, to your shop, how they can, you know, maybe buy something. Do you have some shop online, or can you tell us about that?
Yeah.
Because I think it would be.
It's been a long journey, but we had a website, and we had to, because the website, we built the website ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is coming from, I'm not so good with this. Computer life.
I'm an
old school kind of person.
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, we tried to build a website for ourselves. Me and Carla put more work into that to build it.
Yeah.
But after a year and above, after 2 years, we realized like we were not getting enough, or we didn't do it right, or
the channel we
missed in here.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had to give someone professional to do a website. Yeah. So we had a website.
Can you say
what's it? The website is www.twiggerafricandesign.com.au. And also we have an Instagram shop. You can go to twiga.a.d on Instagram.
Yeah.
And Facebook. We have Facebook shop, Instagram shop. And also we have a shop here. So if you want to see want to see it and touch and feel it, you have to come at the shop number 3. Yeah. Shop number 3, 1917 at Albany Highway in Maddington.
Yeah.
That's where we are. So everything that we make from the back studio in Fremantle comes here at the shop.
Oh, okay.
To the shop here.
And that's where we are. And yeah, we encourage you to come here, check out the artwork that's here also by a lady called Maita. Yeah. And the beautiful clothes that Twiggers got here as well. Thank you so much for making time to chat to us, man.
Thank you. And also before we go, there's a big shout, like Maita.
Yeah.
Maita is, I met Maita a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we've been friends for long. You
know? Yeah.
Until, one day I was sitting there and Maita gives the call.
Yeah.
Okay, Nas, I got a show.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Like, I need us to collabo.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm keen. I'm keen for that because people ask me all the time. Yeah. I want to see your stuff. They come at my home.
Yeah.
So, Kala didn't want people to keep coming at home. Traffic and the neighbors.
Yeah.
So, we thought, that's going to be a good opportunity.
Yeah.
We can showcase and people can just walk in here and they can grab and go.
Yeah.
So, big up to Maita. And Maita also runs a Little Big People.
Yeah.
She does all the arts, artwork at the shop.
Yeah.
So, if you have a picture you want to frame, if you want anything, Maita does all the framing, all the artwork. You can check her too if you come at the shop. People should feel free to visit the shop.
Thank you so much for this interview, my man. So it was great, nice and happy to talk about your business, because you can see that really improve a lot, and I'm happy you've got this place, guys, Maita, and
it's a really nice job.
Do what you want to do and do what you like to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's the power of things.
Beautiful. You just empowered us here now again. That's beautiful. That's beautiful to hear that. And thank you guys again for coming, and thank you guys to give us opportunity, and all guys, tune to Kaya Radio.
Yeah.
And know about us, and thank you.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, I give him something to kick it to. Soon as I tap into my spiritual, niggas been dying for clout, I'm living proof. Against all odds, I've been the truth. Still standing, too dope to pass the physical. I'm transcending past the physical. This here's forever, the spitting word is biblical. I live through a verse, a miracle. I'm giving you the game, it's pivotal. That's just what a nigga do. No influencer, the illest too. Kick influenza on instrumental and kill a few. Some of my best writings were just interludes. Couldn't break it down in an interview. Just listen to my pictures. You gon' get the slideshow in a few. Word is they only wanna ride when you in a coupe. And birds just want a little vibe and a rhythm too. Finna give it a try if they in the mood. You in it, boo? Your favorite rapper is Kitty Pooh. And I knock him off his pedestal. I'm in my prime at the pinnacle. And in my rhymes is a little jewel. I'm underground with the minerals. Yeah, that's how they crown me the trillest. I'm bout it, bouty, I'm with it. Pound for pound, I'm the realest. How that sound when I kill it? Not a sound till I'm finished. The body count is relentless. Jot it down if I'm in it. Was down and out for a minute. Counted out by the critics. Riding round with my niggas who down to cut up a meal. So we out of town with the business. Hiding out in the village. Climbing out was a mission. We wildin' out cause we did it, nigga.